Welcome back to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And joining us now is Christopher Black, a very distinguished lawyer who has defended clients before the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda and Yugoslavia. And we want to talk to Christopher today about the matters to do with Syria primarily, but and there's another matter we'll get into. But Christopher, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me back, and it's great to be here, Phil.
Christopher, I want to ask you briefly about the tribunals, because we have many listeners who have followed the story of the tribunals and heard you speaking about the ICTR, and a celebrated individual by name, Felicien Kabuga, has been brought to the court in The Hague, he's been arrested very recently. As you know, he was long sought by the authorities, the United Nations Tribunal, because he was allegedly a central figure. He's now quite elderly. And the tribunal that he's going to be appearing before has a curious name. It's called The Mechanism. So I hoped you could help tell our listeners what that mechanism is. And also, why do so many accused and their families find the experience of this tribunal so frustrating? And why it has so many odd elements? I mean, for example, Mr. Bagbo, not long ago at the ICC, was acquitted, but as far as I know, he hasn't been allowed to go home. No. There's something funny about these courts. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, the two ad hoc tribunals that I've been before, with Milosevic, the Yugoslav tribunal, and then with General Dindili Mana, the Rwanda tribunal, where I spent most of my time, are, in most defense lawyers' views, illegitimate because they were created by the Security Council, which had no authority to create such a thing as ultra vires of their powers under the UN Charter. Nevertheless, they created them. But when they were set up, they were completely controlled by the NATO powers, mainly the United States, Britain, Belgium, Canada, Norway, all these people. The UN they had the UN imprimatur, which made them look legitimate, but in fact, they were really NATO tribunals. Mm. And they were used, in my view, for three purposes. A, to cover up what really happened in the wars against Yugoslavia, the aggression against Yugoslavia, to cover up what the West really did in Rwanda, and why all those people were killed was because of what the West did, to put out propaganda of their narrative to convince people what happened was their story when it was not, and to incriminate, a charge, and throw in jail scapegoats for the crimes of others. And I've always suggested, and I believe that every prisoner arrested at the ICTR and the ICTY were scapegoats, and that the charges were largely fabricated against them by the intelligence services of NATO, of the NATO powers. Mm-hmm. In Rwanda, in this case with Felicien Kabuga. Now, since the trials ended, the mandate of these tribunals came to an end a couple of years ago, but because they still had people they had condemned to prison, they had to take care of, and they had to deal with parole issues and so on, and health issues, and there were still some fugitives they were searching for who might face trial, like Felicien Kabuga, who was just arrested. They set up a residual, what they call a mechanism, to take over the reins of those two tribunals and consolidate them. And so they still have an administration and some judges, and apparently they think they can conduct trials under this residual procedure or mechanism. They call it the mechanism, which is a very sort of cyborg sort of Borg sort of way of just deciding, calling a court the mechanism. And it actually says a lot about what it really is. It's just a machine to grind up people and spit them out as convicts who are mainly innocent of any crime whatsoever. Like Felician Kabuga is charged, as far as I understand it, with genocide because he supposedly financed the Inter-Ahomwe and Radio Meal Colleen. Yet in our trial with General Dindilya Manna, who was acquitted back in 2014, it was established and the judges accepted that the Inter-Ahomwe was a legitimate youth wing of the MRND party, along with other youth wings of other parties, that none of these parties were militias, none of them had arms, and under the Rwanda constitution, they were not allowed to have arms. They were never prosecuted for being militia, even when the Minister of Justice at that time was an RPF acolyte. And they admitted that in court. And Radio Meal Colleen, it was proved that, sure, he had shares in that. I think he had shares in that company, but so did some RPF members who are now cabinet ministers in the RPF government had shares in Radio Meal Colleen. And because we showed the list of the shareholders.
Yes.
So it was very broad. I mean, many people bought shares in that radio station. It was a good investment. It had nothing to do with politically.
And they were not managing the shows or their person.
No, and in fact, the shows, when you look at the transcripts of the shows of the radio transcripts of the programs they put out, all they were doing actually, and why they have been condemned is, but they were, the reporters were actually reporting what was really going on. And their commentators were saying what was really going on. They were very accurate. And that's why they've been condemned. They were condemned as propagandists, negationists, but in fact, they were very good journalists in stating what was fact. Which the RPF didn't like. And yet the RPF radio station, Radio Murubura, has never been prosecuted, and they're putting out nothing but propaganda.
By the way, it's never mentioned, because, of course, as you already indicated, and you both of us know, Ramsey Clark used to say, it's victor's justice.
Right.
And it wasn't a proper tribunal. One side, I mean, both sides had radio, but no mention of the radio on the RPF side. A detail arose in my interview with Mr. Kabuga's granddaughter. She mentioned, and I bet your memory of the tribunal would give this some quality, that he's not charged now with the importation of machetes, which when I first arrived at that tribunal as an investigator, it was talked about all the time. He had imported. Well, it turns out that he wasn't the biggest importer. He was maybe third or fourth, and that the two of the biggest importers belonged to an ethnic group other than his. He's Hutu. Right. So, and now the mechanism is not going to, they've decided to put that aside.
Yes.
Because it
was absurd from the get-go, because you lived with us in Tanzania and from time to time during your work as an investigator, and everybody had a machete.
Yes.
Every household has a machete or two. I had two in my house. My driver had. Everybody has machetes. In Rwanda, everybody had machetes. You didn't need to import machetes to kill people. Everybody had one already.
Yes, and they're bound.
It was just a sensationalism to make. When I first heard about it, it seemed very racist to me to make the Hutus look like African savages. It was just this racist image that they're going to chop people up with, when that was not what happened. People were not killed by machetes mainly, it was killed by gunfire and bows and arrows and lances in some cases, but mainly gunfire.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad we spoke of that. We're going to follow this Kabuga matter. I think we want to be calling on you, because these ad hoc tribunals have really made a mockery of due process.
I was just going to add about Kabuga that we also established that there are only 1,500 members of Inter-Ahomwe in all of Rwanda, and 90% were in Kigali. There were almost no presence outside Kigali.
Yes.
And yet the prosecution admitted that they were charging any killing was attributed to the Inter-Ahomwe, no matter where it took place, no matter how it happened, no matter who did it.
Yeah.
And because they wanted to discredit the MRND party so it couldn't come back to power, which it never has, because they've discredited because it was associated with the Interahamwe. That was the main purpose.
They criminalized the party.
They criminalized the party, and that was what they did. That's what the whole purpose of charging Kubuga is to reinforce that.
Yeah.
Because the Interahamwe, well, we can go on and on about the Interahamwe, what they really didn't do and what they did.
Those are excellent points, though, by the way. And unfortunately, the bad books have already been written, and the legend has outraced the facts. But
right.
I'm glad you raised it. We're speaking to Christopher Black. By the way, Christopher, people want to read your articles. Where can they find your writing?
I'm basically writing for a New Eastern Outlook, or which can be found on the net, and Strategic Culture Foundation, or Strategic Culture. I write for those two journals mainly New Eastern Outlook, but lately for Strategic Culture, both of which have been banned on Facebook and Twitter and other Western social media.
Wow. So you're cutting edge.
Yeah.